Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it, Chuck Reese Show. Final hour of the program is the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Dukes and Bell were talking about, what music you put on to just kind of chill and relax. And I told them I put on Sade or Anita Baker. But
you see my shirt?
Yeah, I saw it. And I will tell you, Sade's Greatest Hits is one of the best albums ever done. Like, it's just one of the best compilations of music you could ever listen to. So Your Love is King from Sade here to get us started. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll get to rank 'em coming up here at 9:40. That's Life coming up at 9:20. And is it Atlanta Soccer tonight after us with Jason Longshore? So, okay, there you go. So Atlanta Soccer tonight will be coming up after us, as Atlanta United will be in action coming up tomorrow night. We'll have all the coverage right here on 92.9 The Game with Jason and Mike Connie. Let me ask you a question, Orn. So, obviously, Desmond Ridder is now the pinata for the Atlanta Falcons. And look, again, he's got some blame in this. I don't think they've done him some favors and stuff like that. But, Ridder was a guy who started four games at the end of last season, and now he's got his first four starts of this new year as the full-time starting quarterback. All right, let me ask you a question, Orn. If you had a starting quarterback that in his first four starts was 1-3 with a 51.88 completion percentage, five touchdowns, three interceptions, and took 10 sacks, with a 6.91 yards per attempt.
When do you get to the good stuff?
Would you say that's good?
Is there other things? Are there more things you're going to say that are good?
That's your numbers.
Because nothing that you said right now is good.
Okay.
Those aren't good at all, John.
Now, what if that quarterback going into next year had a 1-3 record? He did get up to 66.21 percent completion percentage in the first four games of the following year. Seven touchdowns and two interceptions. Hold that thought for just a second. Eight sacks taken in that four games with an 8.05 yards per attempt. Now, I will tell you, in the opening game of that season, he was 27 for 35, three touchdowns and no picks. So, 77.14% completion percentage, whereas the next three games, 52.17, 64.1, 66.67, and he had four touchdowns and two interceptions. But that opening game, he had 77-plus completion percent and three touchdowns and no picks. Would you say that's overall? So basically, in his first eight games, 2-6, 59.4% completion percentage, 18 sacks taken, but did have 12 touchdowns and five interceptions. Although, like I said, if you take away that opening game where he was outstanding, it would be nine touchdowns and five interceptions.
Before I answer that, let me ask you this question, because Carl and Mike were kind of going back and forth on this one point about the particular quarterback you're talking about right now. Is it four games from last year total? Is it eight games because of the four from this year and the four from last year? Do you overlook the four from last year and just focus on the four from the – where is the starting point that we evaluate Desmond Ridder and the ending point – well, the ending point is now. Where is the starting point from where you start to evaluate this quarterback? Is it the beginning of this season? Is it the beginning of last season? Is it the end of last season?
It's the beginning of this season because, again, you get him his feet wet and he's acclimated to the NFL. Now, by the way, the quarterback that I'm talking about in his first year was 8-7 with 16 touchdowns and 9 interceptions and a 61.34% completion percentage. Is that anything outstanding? And
that is not outstanding.
Okay. Do you know who the quarterback is I'm talking about?
I do not know, John.
It's Jalen Hurts, who started 4 games at the end of 2020. And then, by the way, do you know when I brought up the 77.14% completion percentage and 3 touchdowns in his opening game of the 2021 season? Remember when I just mentioned that? Who do you think that was against?
Was that against the local team here?
Yeah. Yeah. Remember when Jalen Hurts came in here
and ran over us? Yeah.
And played the game of his life? By the way, his quarterback rating, that was his highest quarterback rating by a lot. By the way, the next 2 games that he played, his quarterback rating against the Falcons was 126.4. His quarterback ratings the next 2 weeks against San Francisco and Dallas, 80 and 86.1. He threw all over us. 264 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 77.14%. Did we win that game? Oh, no, we didn't.
We did not win that game.
Okay. We got beat 32-6 that day. Now, I only bring this up because I follow a bunch of Philadelphia writers, and I'm not talking about Kincaid and some of those guys. I'm talking about John McMullen and Howard Eskin and people like that. You think the Philadelphia fans were sold on Jalen Hurts? You think after his first 4 games that he started, they were sold? You think after his first 8 games, they were sold on Jalen Hurts? They weren't sold on Jalen Hurts until he started playing like a madman this year and was a legitimate MVP candidate in the league. But again, we look at things and say, well, after 8 games, a guy doesn't have it. Or the script is written. I'm not telling you that Desmond Ridder is going to be Jalen Hurts. I'm not telling you he's going to be Pat Mahomes. But do I think he's going to be David Klingler? Or is he going to be, give me some, Jamarcus Russell? No, I don't think he's going to be that. But why after 8 games are we so ready to make the final script and write the final script about a guy? It took Jalen Hurts. Look, they weren't sure if they were going to re-sign him to a big contract. And then all of a sudden he played out of his mind. He was fantastic last year. And he was an MVP candidate. They sacked the quarterback 70 times last year. And I'm trying to remember, what game did the Eagles play in at the end of the year? What's the name of the game?
Toilet Bowl.
Huh?
No, the Super.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they were pretty good then, huh? Okay. And the thing with quarterbacks is they always talk about that year 3. But we've seen some guys that have come into the league and just dominated, right? We've seen Pat Mahomes do it. We've seen Joe Burrow do it. But go look at the last decade in just the first and second round. Forget third round. Just the first and second round of quarterbacks that were drafted over the last 10 years. Yes, there's Mahomes and Burrow and Jalen Hurts. Like, there are those kinds of guys. You know what most of those guys are, though, in the last 10 years? Johnny Manziel, Drew Locke. Guys like that.
Unemployed?
Yeah. That's a lot of the Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield. Like, that's the kind of caliber of guys that most of those players are. But we're so ready to write off Desmond Ridder. Again, I'm not saying he's going to be Joe Montana or Steve Young. But how do you know after eight games what you've got? We just talked about Justin Fields. So you mean to tell me if Justin Fields came in here and the Falcons were 2-6 over eight games that people would have the same impression of him? Or because he's a local kid, they'd give him more the benefit of the doubt? Like, for instance, you were never, ever in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. Not because the Falcons didn't want him or this and the other, because he was never going anywhere. Never. He was never leaving Baltimore. Oh, he doesn't like Baltimore. Oh, he hates Baltimore. Oh, he doesn't like it there. Oh, he doesn't like his coach. He doesn't like the GM. All this, that, and the other. And what'd they tell you? Lamar will be our starting quarterback. Guess what? And by the way, did he get 100%? Did Lamar Jackson, Oren, did he get 100% guaranteed contract? Okay. Still only one guy that's gotten 100% guaranteed, right? Okay. And you think the Browns are going to be happy with that contract when he's an $80 million cap hit in 2 years? And especially if they don't start to get their act together with guys like Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb, and all that? Anyway. But we're so ready to write Desmond Ridder off. And again, I'll say, so what happens if, let's say they make a change at quarterback. Let's say that, and I know Arthur Smith already said Desmond Ridder is going to be the starting quarterback against the Texans. But let's say after that game, they made a change at quarterback. And let's say Taylor Heinicke goes 1-6 over the next seven games. They give him a chance, and he goes 1-6 over the next seven games. Then what? Then what? Because we all assume that, oh, if Taylor Heinicke's in there, we're going to go 6-1. What happens if you don't get any better? Because, again, you still have the same problems. You still have the same problems that your offensive line hasn't played well. We don't influence the game enough on the defensive line of scrimmage. We have a lot of shiny people, but we don't win where it matters most. And that's not just quarterback. Yes, the quarterback definitely factors into all of that. And again, Ridder did not play well at all on Sunday. He had a lot of struggles. But the idea of if we just change quarterbacks, everything will be better. If we just fire the head coach, things will be better. You have to let things evolve and breathe. Like, this is not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination, both the team and the quarterback. Both, not just one or the other. We're certainly not a finished team. We still have all kinds of problems on our lines of scrimmage. We can't get enough pressure on the quarterback, and we can't pass block to save our life. Yes, Desmond Ridder is partly to blame. But at the same time, this is not a team that's a quarterback away from being great. I mean, unless you're talking about Pat Mahomes, unless you're talking about a guy like that. Is Pat Mahomes available, Oren? Do we know? Is he available?
For what purpose? To speak to the Falcons? I'm sure you can rent him as a speaker, yes.
Oh. We have a better chance of bringing his wife to our stadium than we do Pat Mahomes or Taylor Swift. We got better start bringing Taylor Swift to the Falcons.
She was at Mercedes-Benz not too long ago.
Yeah, for three nights. We're going to that film, by the way. I'm taking my daughter to the Eras Tour film.
Okay. You have to take it to IMAX, I'm guessing, too, doing it? Or?
Yeah, I think it is IMAX. Can I tell you, I bought tickets the day they went on sale, and most of the shows were already sold out.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah. She did like $100 million in pre-ticket sales. The movie doesn't even come out till next weekend.
She's supposed to, her tour is supposed to break Elton's record for the highest grossing tour of all time. And Elton toured for like 5 years.
Right. But here's the other thing too. She's brought in $6.2 billion to the U.S. economy. $6.2 billion to the U.S. economy. Think about that. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here. It's more fun to talk about Taylor Swift and the Atlanta Falcons.
That's where we are right now, John,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where we're at. But again, You have to let some things breathe. Eight games to me is nothing in the NFL. Like, it's nothing. It's half a season in the NFL. But we've made all these proclamations about Desmond Ridder can't play and this, that, and the other. All right, that's life when we get back. Speaking of Taylor Swift and Sunday Night Football, huge ratings for them. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Nets of the Game, Odyssey.com app. If you were here,
you would know what I mean to say.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it. Chuck Reese Show, 9:21 from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. 20 minutes from right now, we've got Rank'em coming up. So Orin's virginal Rank'em. List.
Excuse me? Just say the first time I've done it. Let's leave that word out of it, yes.
Virginal. I mean,
good night. Which,
yeah, that's not a state in the northeastern part of it.
It's for lovers, though.
Yeah. Ah, okay, yeah, that's true. So, all right. Did you see the Sunday Night Football ratings, Orin? So it was there, obviously, with the network featuring Taylor Swift, you know, and did you see the group of people that Taylor Swift went to the game with?
Yeah, it was like Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively.
Yep.
And
who they're married,
crew.
By the way.
Yeah.
And did you see who else? She had Brittany Mahomes.
Brittany Mahomes as well, yeah.
She also had Hugh Jackman was
I did see Hugh Jackman. Yes. Paul Rudd was somewhere too, but I don't think he was in the box with them.
Well, but Paul Rudd is a Chiefs fan, though. Yeah, he's a big Chiefs guy. So Sunday Night Football had its biggest audience of the season, averaging 27 million viewers across all of their platforms. And there was a big spike in women viewers. Now, obviously, this is the Taylor Swift effect.
Not the Zach Wilson effect?
No, no. You know, that it wouldn't even be the Mark Gastineau effect. Per NBC, okay, viewers among girls 12 to 17 were up 53% on Sunday over the first three games of the season. Women 18 to 24 were up 24%, and women over 35 were up 34%. Than at any point so far in the season. And look, she is arguably the biggest musical artist on the planet right now. And she has a legion of fans. You know, and look, I fully admit, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. My daughter is a Swiftie. I'm a big fan of her music. I've said, here, I'll give you a hot take, Orin. I said this a few weeks ago. I'll give you a real hot take. Taylor Swift is the best songwriter on earth right now.
I don't really think I can disagree with you on that one, John, just because, I mean, yeah, I can't disagree with you on that one.
She just has an appeal that has crossed over in all types of music listeners and everything, and her concerts and her film and everything like that has just been amazing. But again, you can say what you want, that, and Did you see how many commercials for her movie were during the broadcast? Like, there were...
Oh, NBC knew exactly what they were doing.
Absolutely.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
Absolutely. And guess what? They're in the business of getting viewers to put eyeballs on their product. And look, Sunday Night Football is already the most watched television program over the course of a year, no matter what. Like, there's no program that gets better ratings than Sunday Night Football. So, again, massive jump in women viewers on that show. How about this story, Oren? Ed Sheeran, you know who he is?
Yeah, looks like a little hobbit.
Yes. He recalls getting so high with Snoop Dogg that he couldn't see. Quote, "I don't really smoke at all." Ed Sheeran said that marijuana, while it's not his drug of choice, he says, but when you're with Snoop Dogg, you don't have much of a choice to it. So in an interview with Conan O'Brien on, what is it? Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I guess that's his podcast.
His daily podcast, yeah.
So he said that he was attending one of Snoop's recent performances in Melbourne, Australia, with his wife and her mother. And after the show, the group met the 51-year-old rapper backstage. He said, and he told Conan O'Brien, quote, "I remember meeting him, my mother-in-law, and he was like, 'What's up, queen?'" Sheeran explained that he became quite close friends with actor Russell Crowe, who happens to be tight with Snoop, and was in the room that night, and they said they have smoke-offs and stuff. He says, quote, "I really don't smoke at all. I was in the dressing room, and they just were smoking blunt for blunt for blunt for blunt. And I'm like, I guess at some point during the night, I have to just be like, I smoked with Snoop Dogg."
So this is what happens when people think they can smoke with Snoop.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Big and bad.
Right.
And literally after like an hour, they're already ready to tap out. Like, it's... Snoop to this day, he says there is one person who can outsmoke him that he has encountered. You know who that person is?
Who?
Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Is the one person he said he has encountered can outsmoke him, but Snoop says there is nobody that can hang with him except Willie Nelson.
It's because he's had a 40-year head start.
Pretty much, yeah. But I think I read, was it last week or something, that he does something like it's 10 to 11 blunts a day he smokes.
Okay.
Blunts.
I mean, listen,
that's not counting anything else. It's just blunts.
Listen, I mean, it's definitely good for weight control. I can tell you that. He's not going to be a heavy man, so. All right, happy birthday today to Stevie Ray Vaughan and Lindsey Buckingham, two of my favorite guitar players of all time. So tonight's top 10 list, your top 10 favorite guitar players of all time. Oren, the virginal floor is yours for this.
Okay. Do I need to have these in order, or can I just give them to you?
Oh, you don't have to get them in order.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just your top 10. They don't have to be in any order.
Okay. So the first name that always comes to mind, Jimi Hendrix. Always Jimi.
Mm-hmm.
I got Prince, Eddie Van Halen, Chuck Berry, B.B. King, Slash, Jimmy Page, Tom Morello, Ernie Isley.
Now, I will tell you that I think Jimmy Page is one of the more overrated guitar players.
I didn't put Clapton on my list because I think Clapton, to me, has that title.
And I love Eric. So here's why I love Eric Clapton. Because he's got the greatest rock song of all time. Layla's the greatest rock song of all time.
Layla's a pretty cool song.
And again, Dwayne Allman is on that. And
Dwayne Allman's a good one, too.
I love Dwayne Allman.
Good old Southern rock, yeah.
Right. But... that's the only reason I give Clapton that kind of credit, Old Slow Hand. Do you think that they stole A Stairway to Heaven? Do you know the controversy behind that?
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, no, but then again, they have a song that sounds a whole lot like 25 or 6 to 4, too, so... I mean, I don't know. At that point, like, we weren't in an era at that time where music was so prevalent all over the place that you could just pick up a device and hear a song So for them to steal, it would have had to take a tremendous amount of effort to do so. I don't think that's the case.
So here's my list. And it's funny because we have several of the same folks. I would say that Eddie Van Halen is my favorite guitar player of all time. And if you want to hear, I mean, not just the Van Halen, but obviously the guitar solo on Beat It, which he did.
Such a great story about that, too, how that came to happen.
Yes. You know, Michael's got a few of those kinds of stories where, because again, one of the other guys on my list is Steve Stevens.
Okay.
Who is Billy Idol's guitar player. And by the way, if you watch the live version of Money Money, that's the better version. Like the Steve Stevens playing live at the video on the video of Money Money is way better. But Steve Stevens also did the guitar work for Dirty Diana with Michael Jackson.
Okay, gotcha.
He's the guy that did that. But Slash, you know, Slash did not play guitar on Black or White.
Really?
Yes. It was rumored, and he was asked, but he didn't play guitar on Black or White.
Okay.
So that's the funny thing about all of that. So I've got Eddie Van Halen. I've got Prince as well. Carlos Santana. Nile Rodgers. You know who Nile Rodgers
is? Yeah, Cheek, yeah. Yes. And then also produced for Madonna, Duran Duran,
absolutely.
Bowie. They saw him live. He opened for Duran Duran a few months back. Me and Crooked Pocahontas went to see that show together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know what? Dang, I would have liked to have gone to see
it
that
was
show.
Really, yeah. Nile Rodgers he's tremendous.
Yeah, he... So I've always said my favorite disco group of all time is Chic, and I think that I think Tony Thompson and Bernard Edwards were one of the great rhythm sections in music history.
Okay.
Like I think they were one of the great rhythm sections of all time. Like those two guys were, and then Nile Rodgers dropping that guitar in, and by the way, they wrote and produced so many hit songs.
Oh my gosh!
Diana Ross. Barbara Streisand, they had Sister Sledge's stuff. I mean, they wrote and produced. I mean, Duran Duran, you know. And again, they formed Power Station and all that, you know, as well.
Power Station, great group.
Yeah. So, again, I got Nile Rodgers on my list. I said Steve Stevens. Randy Rhoads, you know who he is?
He was
the guy who ate the bat.
Yeah, Ozzy, yes.
Yes. He was, and he died very young, but he was... He was the early guitar player for Ozzy Osbourne. I've got Stevie Ray Vaughan. I missed an opportunity to see Stevie Ray Vaughan in concert about 6 months before he died.
Oh, no.
It was at Akron University, and I was going to Akron U at the time, and I was like, I'll catch him at, like, Blossom Music Festival or somewhere like that.
Yeah, come back around.
Like, one of the amphitheaters. And he died like 6 months later, and I was like, "Oh my god!" Like, and I like his brother Jimmy too. Do you know who Jimmy Vaughn is?
The name sounds familiar. Yes.
Do you know the Fabulous Thunderbirds?
Yes, in the Fabulous.
He's
Thunderbirds.
The guitar player for the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
That thought process, John. That thought process, and the fact that I saw Prince's last concert ever here in Atlanta when he was at the Fox is the reason why if I have a chance to go see a show, I absolutely will do everything I can to go see that show.
You know, I saw Prince at the Hit and Run Tour here in Atlanta at, believe it or not, the Piedmont Civic Center.
Oh, wow.
So there was a gimmick where he was going around on tour, and they did not announce tickets until the day of the show.
When he did his show here in Atlanta.
That's why it was called Hit and Run.
Yeah,
it was because... And so I got word that he was coming in concert, and I will still tell you to this day, that was the greatest collection of beautiful people I had ever seen in my entire life.
On the stage and off the stage, I'm guessing?
I mean, just the everywhere. People in the crowd, the guys and the women, like, that was the most beautiful crowd of people I've ever seen in my life.
Hugh Douglas tells a story about how his wife and his then ex-wife went to go see Prince together. And he said he almost beat Prince up that night because Prince almost stole his woman.
Wow.
He said, I was going to beat Prince up, man. Prince almost told my wife, man.
But to be fair, though, Hugh's got a few ex-wives, so he can afford to lose one. What?
Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Come on.
Oh, sorry. And then, listen, my last one, I think he's the most underrated guitar player in rock history. That is Lindsey Buckingham.
Lindsey's great.
And listen, me and Robbie Rosenhaus went to the Fleetwood Mac concert a few years ago, and we were up in the suite at Phillips Arena at the time, but that was a magnificent show. I've seen him twice. Remember when they first got back together? They played Lakewood Amphitheater when they first got back together. But that show, I'm telling you, is one of the. I mean, that's a top three concert for me, probably of all time. Like they
Fleetwood was on the list too of a group I would like to see live.
Oh, they're
not the same iteration now, but still. Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like again, now they're not gonna play again with them. So, all right, when we get back, it will be time for Rank'em 404-726-0929. Text us, tweet me at JMCH316. He's at Oren Romain, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show. We head to the top of the hour and we'll get to Atlanta soccer tonight with Jason Longshore. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Used to have a little bit of fun on the weekends. We would pick Randy's brain, pick Hugh's brain. Sometimes I would give those guys a list of things to put in order. We decided to steal it, and we call this segment Rank 'em. That's your cue, Warren. There you go. Yes. Yes. Ace is high.
Why not bring it back just to torture myself?
This song is so great. Let me tell you.
Is it great or is the story behind the song great, John?
The story is great. Let me tell you. Every single time this movie is on, I have it on. Like, I can't stop watching it.
The scene right here, this scene is...
Oh,
so,
it's so great.
Of all, like, I guess the montage-y scenes they do, like the heist scenes... I think the high scene from 13 is probably the best of
absolutely,
the three.
Absolutely. With all the figures going across the screen, and they got the dice that's loaded.
Yeah,
and everything.
Flipping dice and
3 minutes and counting. All right, we're up.
Oh,
yeah, it's all you.
It's all me.
Okay. Yeah, it's all you. You all get right, us. Well, you run this segment.
We'll start with the text line here before we get to mine. Here, John.
Okay,
how about that? All right, we got Rank'em, Forgotten Dating Shows, Studs, Eliminate, Blind Date, or The Big Date.
I don't know what Studs is.
Studs has a very unusual claim to fame.
Okay.
Two claims to fame, actually. Studs was this, like, weird late night, like, mid-90s dating show where you had... like a group of guys and a group of girls, they tried to match answers.
Okay.
Featured on one of those shows, one episode, was Ron Goldman.
Wow.
Yeah, Ron Goldman. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the Harbaugh brothers also was on one of those shows.
Wow. And he got cut from the show?
You know what, John? I should have told you that. I knew once I told you that, it was going to be... I was going to regret it. And I regret it.
I bet he'll never bring glasses back again. I did like Blind Date. So I'll go with that one. Big Date 2, Eliminate 3. I remember that show, but I don't remember Stud, so that has to go number 4.
Okay. Rank 'em. Trae Young, Derrick Rose before the injuries,
okay.
Steph Curry or Kobe?
I like clutch players, so I'll go Kobe 1, Steph 2. I'll go Trae 3, and I'll go Derrick Rose 4.
Okay. DeBarge songs, Rhythm of the Night, Who's Holding Donna, All This Love, and I Like It.
Do you know what movie Who's Holding Donna Now was in?
I don't. I know he had...
Short Circuit 2.
I thought that was Who's Johnny was the first Short Circuit, wasn't it?
Wasn't... Who's Holding Donna Now in one of the Short Circuit movies?
Maybe. I know Who's Johnny was in Short Circuit.
Okay.
Who's Johnny?
All This Love, number 1. I like it, number two. I'll go Rhythm of the Night, three. And I go Who's Holding Donna Now.
Do you remember what movie Rhythm of the Night was in?
Oh, boy. No, I do not.
The Last Dragon.
Wow.
Yes.
You know what? That movie's been on Showtime here a few times recently.
Okay. Let's get to my first one here.
Okay.
Rank these 92.9 The Game station catchphrases.
Okay.
Hey, man. Let's eat. I got the homies with me. And all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance. So,
well,
hey, man, Dukes and Bell, let's eat is the new catchphrase from the steakhouse that they're workshopping.
From the Chuck House.
The Chuck House.
Yeah.
I got the homies with me is Dylan. That's old Dylon's drop when he gets the crosstalk.
You know Dylon isn't doing the high school scoreboard show anymore?
No, like
he's
not.
Too big time. Yeah, he's too big time. I'll go mine first.
Of course you will.
I'll go Hey Yo next.
Okay.
And I'll go with Dylon's Where the Homies At. What is it called?
I got the homies.
I got the homies. I got the hoes with me. What is it?
Homies.
Homies.
Hoes.
Homies.
Hoes. You have to stop saying that.
Okay. And then let's eat Cha-Cha, number four.
All right.
We don't like him anyway, so.
Yeah, he is what he is. Rank these days of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Sunday one, because that's like my only day off. I'll go Wednesday, because at least we got wrestling on there. And I'll go Monday three. And then Tuesday, number four. Tuesday is like our longest, hardest day of the week. So, yeah.
These are actors that all did a song in the 1980s. I need you to rate their musical careers here.
Okay.
Philip Michael Thomas, Bruce Willis, Don Johnson, Eddie Murphy.
You know, they had the 80s countdown the other day.
Uh-huh.
And they had from 1986... Heartbeat. I'm looking for a heartbeat now.
Don.
I'll go Eddie Murphy because that's still one of the great. I'm telling you, that's one of the great songs of all time.
It was a bet.
The best part of that music video. I say this all the time.
Rick James
picked up a bass guitar and just started playing it. Not plugged in, nothing attached. He just grabbed the bass and started playing it.
Willing to bet that Rick James had no idea what was going on in that entire video.
Absolutely.
No idea what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I promise you. But that's the greatest thing about that video is he just grabbed a bass guitar, not plugged in, and just started playing it. I'll go him one. I'll go Bruce Willis, The Return of Bruno, number two. That was his album, Express Yourself.
Yeah, was it Respect Yourself?
Respect Yourself, the Staple Singer song, Respect Yourself. He had the Pointer Sisters sing background on that song in the video. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Don Johnson, number three, and Philip Michael Thomas, number four.
All right.
All right, let me get to my text line, or sorry, my Twitter page. This is a good question from the basketball guy on Twitter. He says, which of these girls would you want to date? Taylor Swift, Jane Slater, Teresia Bowles, and Marina Gregory. Now, I have said previously on the show, I am fascinated with that Jane Slater. I am fascinated by her. I love Jane Slater. So I will take Jane Slater, number one.
She's Texas.
Oh, yeah. She covers the Cowboys. So, you know, she's like 41 years old, too.
I did not know that.
Oh, she is unbelievable. Taylor Swift, number two. I don't know who Teresia Bowles is. Do you know who she is? I know I've heard of Marina Gregory, so I'll go three with her.
It looks like Teresia, she works here in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Is she on TV?
11 Alive.
Okay. Well, I know 11 Alive, folks. I know Don White. I know Maria Martin, Joe Ripley, Reggie Chapman. I know several folks.
You know some folks over there.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Cha-Cha, I don't know. Anyway. all right. Hold on. I got to get all the way back up to the top of my Twitter page. Let's see. From the real Matt Ryan. The 1980 Phillies, the 1981 Dodgers, the 82 Cardinals, or the 85 Royals. I love that 82 Cardinals team. That was speed, 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 speed. I'll go Cardinals with number one. I do like the 80 Phillies team, believe it or not. I love Schmidt. That was Schmidt, Rose, Tug McGraw closed out the game. Steve Carlton was on that team. I'll go them number two. The 85 Royals three, and the strike-shortened Dodgers number four. From our buddy Marco on my Twitter page, opening guitar licks. Voodoo Chow, Layla, can't get no satisfaction, don't fear the Reaper. Well, again, I still think that Satisfaction is the greatest opening riff in music history. So I'll go that number one. I'll go Layla number two because I think it's the best rock song of all time. Voodoo Chow number three, and then Don't Fear the Reaper number four. And okay. Let me see. Real quickly, from our buddy Alvy Cohen. Rank these TV pitch guys. Phil Swift, Billy Mays. Billy Mays is no longer here, right?
He is deceased, yes.
Yeah. Didn't he kill himself?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Well, I guess he won't pitch anything. Ron Popiel?
I don't know who that is.
So he goes number four. Cy Sperling, number one. Absolutely. Cy Sperling is number one. I'll go Billy Mays, two. Phil Swift, three. And again, I don't know who Ron Popiel is. All right, you're up.
Okie dokie, here we go.
Do you have anybody else who killed themselves?
No, I don't, John. Okay. Come on.
We got to get quickly.
The figure four leg lock, scorpion death lock, sharpshooter, mandible claw.
Sharpshooter one, scorpion death lock two. What'd you say? What was the other one? The first one?
Figure four.
Figure four, number three, and the mandible claw. I still don't know how that gets anybody down.
There you go.
All right, we got to break. We'll come back with a Love TKO and wrap things up. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, not to the game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show. We head to the top of the hour, and we'll get to Atlanta soccer tonight with Jason Longshore. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Used to have a little bit of fun on the weekends. We would pick Randy's brain, pick Hugh's brain. Sometimes I would give those guys a list of things to put in order. We decided to steal it, and we call this segment Rank 'em. That's your cue, Warren. There you go. Yes. Yes. Aces high.
Why not bring it back just to torture myself?
This song is so great. Let me tell you.
Is it great or is the story behind the song great, John?
The story is great. Let me tell you. Every single time this movie is on, I have it on. Like, I can't stop watching it.
The scene right here, this scene is...
Oh,
so
it's so great.
Of all, like, I guess the montage-y scenes they do,
yes,
like the heist scenes, I think the heist scene from 13 is probably the best of
absolutely,
the three.
Absolutely. With all the figures going across the screen, and they got the dice that's loaded and everything.
Yeah, flipping dice and...
3 minutes and counting. All right, we're up. We're up.
Oh,
it's all you.
It's all me. Okay.
Yeah, it's all you. You all get right, us. Well, you run this segment.
Let me. We'll start with the text line here before we get to mine here, John.
Okay.
How about that? All right, we got rank 'em: forgotten dating shows, studs, eliminate, blind date, or the big date.
I don't know what Studs is.
Studs has a very unusual claim to fame.
Okay.
Two claims to fame, actually. Studs was this, like, weird late night, like, mid-90s dating show where you had, like a group of guys and a group of girls. They tried to match answers.
Okay.
Featured on one of those shows, one episode, was Ron Goldman.
Wow.
Yeah, Ron Goldman. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the Harbaugh brothers also was on one of those shows.
Wow. And he got cut from the show?
You know what, John? I should have told you that. I knew once I told you that, it was going to be, I was going to regret it. And I regret it. I regret it.
I bet he'll never bring glasses back again. I did like Blind Date. So I'll go with that one. Big Date 2. Eliminate 3. I remember that show, but I don't remember Stud, so that has to go number 4.
Okay. Rank them. Trae Young, Derrick Rose, before the injuries,
okay.
Steph Curry, or Kobe?
I like clutch players, so I'll go Kobe 1, Steph 2, I'll go Trae 3, and I'll go Derrick Rose 4.
Okay. DeBarge songs, Rhythm of the Night, Who's Holding Donna, All This Love, and I Like It.
Do you know where what movie Who's Holding Donna Now was in?
I don't. I know he had
Short Circuit 2.
I thought that was Who's Johnny was the first Short Circuit, wasn't it?
Wasn't Who's Holding Donna Now in one of the Short Circuit movies?
Maybe. I know Who's Johnny was in Short Circuit.
Okay.
Who's Johnny?
All This Love, number 1. I Like It, number 2. I'll go Rhythm of the Night, 3. And I go Who's Holding Donna Now.
Do you remember what movie Rhythm of the Night was in?
Oh, boy. No, I do not.
The Last Dragon.
Wow.
Yes.
You know what? That movie's been on Showtime here a few times recently.
Okay. Let's get to my first one here.
Okay.
Rank these 92.9 The Game station catchphrases.
Okay.
Hey, man, let's eat. I got the homies with me and all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance. So,
certainly.
Hey, man, Dukes and Bell, let's eat is the new catchphrase from the steakhouse that they're workshopping.
From the Chuck House.
The Chuck House.
Yeah.
I got the homies with me is Dylan. That's old Dylon's drop when he gets the crosstalk.
You know Dylon
morning.
Isn't doing the high school scoreboard show anymore?
No,
like
he's not.
Too big time. Yeah, he's too big time. I'll go mine first.
Of course you will.
I'll go hey yo next.
Okay.
And I'll go with Dylon's where the homies at. What is it called?
I got the homies.
I got the hoes with me.
Homies. Homies.
Hoes.
Homies.
Hoes.
You have to stop saying that.
Okay. And then let's eat cha-cha, number 4.
All right.
We don't like him anyway, so.
Yeah, he is what he is. Rank these days of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Sunday 1, because that's like my only day off. I'll go Wednesday, because at least we got wrestling on there. And I'll go Monday 3, and then Tuesday, number 4. Tuesday is like our longest, hardest day of the week. So, yeah.
These are actors that all did a song in the 1980s. I need you to rate their musical careers here.
Okay.
Philip Michael Thomas, Bruce Willis, Don Johnson, Eddie Murphy.
You know, they had the 80s countdown the other day, and they had from 1986, Heartbeat! I'm looking for a heartbeat now.
Oh, Don.
I'll go Eddie Murphy because that's still one of the great, I'm telling you, that's one of the great songs of all time.
It was
The best part of that music video. I say this all the time.
Rick James
picked up a bass guitar and just started playing it. Not plugged in, nothing attached. He just grabbed the bass and started playing it.
I'm willing to bet that Rick James had no idea what was going on
absolutely.
In that entire video.
Absolutely.
No idea what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I promise you. But that's the greatest thing about that video is he just grabbed a bass guitar, not plugged in, and just started playing it. I'll go him 1. I'll go Bruce Willis, The Return of Bruno, number 2. That was his album, Express Yourself.
Yeah, was it Respect Yourself or Respect,
or respect,
yourself?
Respect yourself. The Staple Singer song, Respect Yourself. He had the Pointer Sisters sing background on that song in the video. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Don Johnson, number 3, and Philip Michael Thomas, number 4.
All right.
All right, let me get to my text line, or sorry, my Twitter page. This is a good question from the basketball guy on Twitter. He says, which of these girls would you want to date? Taylor Swift, Jane Slater, Teresia Bowles, and Marina Gregory. Now, I have said previously on this show, I am fascinated with that Jane Slater. I am fascinated by her. I love Jane Slater. So I will take Jane Slater, number 1.
She's Texas, girl.
Huh?
She's Texas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She covers the Cowboys. So, you know, she's like 41 years old, too.
I did not know that.
Oh, she is unbelievable. Taylor Swift, number 2. I don't know who Teresia Bowles is. Do you know who she is? I know I've heard of Marina Gregory, so I'll go 3 with
her.
It
looks like Teresia, she works here in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm not. Is she on TV?
11 Alive.
Okay. Well, I know 11 Alive, folks. I know Don White. I know Maria Martin. Joe Ripley. Reggie Chapman. I know several folks.
You know some folks over there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not. Listen, Cha-Cha. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Hold on. I got to get all the way back up to the top of my Twitter page. Let's see. From the real Matt Ryan, the 1980 Phillies, the 1981 Dodgers, the 82 Cardinals, or the 85 Royals. I love that 82 Cardinals team. That was speed, 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 speed. I'll go Cardinals with number 1. I do like the 80 Phillies team, believe it or not. I love Schmidt. That was Schmidt, Rose, Tug McGraw closed out the game. Steve Carlton was on that team. I'll go them number 2. The 85 Royals, 3. And the strike-shortened Dodgers, number 4. From our buddy Marco on my Twitter page, opening guitar licks, Voodoo Chow, Layla, Can't Get No Satisfaction, Don't Fear the Reaper. Well, again, I still think that Satisfaction is the greatest opening riff in music history. So I'll go that number 1. I'll go Layla number 2 because I think it's the best rock song of all time. Voodoo Child number 3, and then Don't Fear the Reaper number 4. And okay. Let me see. Real quickly, from our buddy Alvy Cohen. Rank these TV pitch guys. Phil Swift, Billy Mays. Billy Mays is no longer here, right?
He is deceased, yes.
Yeah. Didn't he kill himself?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Well, I guess he won't pitch anything. Ron Popiel?
I don't know who that is.
So he goes number 4. Cy Sperling, number 1. Absolutely. Cy Sperling is number 1. I'll go Billy Mays, 2. Phil Swift, 3. And again, I don't know who Ron Popiel is. All right, you're up.
Okie dokie. Here we go.
Do you have anybody else who killed themselves?
No, I don't, John. Okay. Come on.
We got to get quickly.
The figure 4 leg lock, Scorpion death lock, sharpshooter, mandible claw.
Sharpshooter 1, Scorpion Deathlock 2, what'd you say? What was the other one? The first one?
Figure 4.
Figure 4, number 3, and the Mandible Claw. I still don't know how that gets anybody down.
There you go.
All right, we got to break. We'll come back with a Love TKO and wrap things up. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, not to the game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.